No, it's Clay Matthews is not an inside linebacker. He's a football player. It's really, you go back to the meetings in the spring. We talked about it in OTAs. The focus was to play more players on defense, move Clay around, and create challenges for the offense. So we'll see where he plays this week.
I mean, you're obviously as a guy who calls plays and is a 10, likes to attack the middle of the field. I mean, is that a big challenge when you got a guy, a good middle linebacker who's athletic enough with all that kind of range? I guess if you can put yourself in the shoes of the opposite coach having to face Clay in the middle, just how big of a challenge is that?
Well, I mean, Clay's a dynamic football player that, you know, makes impact plays, and but also, I mean, he has the ability to switch positions mentally. I mean, you think about the training and that goes involved, that is involved in playing any position, particularly inside linebacker as opposed to outside linebacker. So for him to go in there and be as productive as he was, I mean, you have to, you know, give him a lot of credit for his instincts, anticipation, and things like that. But I mean, I don't see the offense that we go against. They're going to start change, you know, have mass changes. I mean, it's what you go through every week in this league. I mean, there's, you look at the matchups that you have on your offensive line versus their defensive front, and you try to block it accordingly.
Hey, Mike, though, you have a birthday, by the
way. Thank you.
You talk all the time about unscouted looks.
Yes.
That was clearly an unscouted look for the Bears.
Yes.
So there is value to that, right? I mean, even if they're not going to change the whole game plan because Clay Matthews is an inside linebacker, what do you think the value was of the element of surprise, and then how do you keep using this now that it's going to be on?
Well, the value of it is in the first opportunity. First off, you do that, so not there's an adjustment that's made. There's how they declare their run blocking schemes, how the starting point, how they declare their pass protection schemes, the starting point. Are they declaring Clay, a big, as a defensive lineman, or is he going to be declared as a linebacker? So you put them in an adjustment. Then obviously they make their adjustments. And the other benefit is, the guards and centers really didn't get the practice, anticipate that skill set in there. So that's the benefit of an unscouted look. Now week two will be different, and then it obviously goes away. But it has its benefits the first time out of the box.
And do you think using him in that way inside with AJ, as opposed to when he used him in the 4-3 and he was technically kind of a middle linebacker, do you think that this is going to be more productive for him? Just
we'll see.
Happy with the production you got from him when he was inside before, though?
Well, see, I wouldn't have called him the middle linebacker there. So it's.
What would you call him? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, he played. I really don't want to get that specific, frankly, okay, about the schemes. But he played a different position in the quads than he played in the nickel package. So.
Mike, last three home games, you've kind of entered the locker room with what appears on the scoreboard to be insurmountable leads. When you're in that situation, how do you approach how long to keep Aaron in the game?
Well, first of all, we show up every week to play four quarters. I mean, that's all obviously what you go through the week to prepare for. It's a good challenge. I don't say a problem. It's a good challenge to have. But frankly, it stresses you. It stresses your football team out when you start taking players out of the game very early. And you only have 46 players that are up for the game. So when you start pulling, three, four, five players on the offensive, defensive side of the ball, the special teams really get stretched. And that's what you saw at the end. So that's what happened last night. I don't have a thing on my call sheet. Okay, we're going to pull everybody at this point. You wouldn't want to do it before the fourth quarter. That has not been the case of late. But when we come out of the locker room at halftime, we were coming out the same way we came out the first quarter. So it was important for us to take away any surge from Chicago. That was our plan.
So how do you balance not to take him out too early, but still not leaving him in there too late?
There isn't a balance. I guess that's the point I just try to make. You have 46 players, and you start substituting players that now you got guys that play 25, 30 plays a game. They're now playing, you know, 50, 60, 70, and they're going from special teams to offensive defense. It's a challenge for those guys, but it's great experience. I mean, how many times does your backup quarterback get to play during the regular season? You know, Matt's played 3 times in 9 games. You know, that's not normal. That's good experience for Matt.
The flip side of that, obviously, when you see him like last night get hit when you're up 42-0, how much do you lose when you see
this? Is professional football. Yeah. Okay, we showed up to play 4 quarters, so frankly, that shouldn't even be part of the evaluation, in my opinion. I think it's ridiculous not to answer that question.
Hey, Mike, on Jordy's first touchdown, when did you realize Aaron had the wherewithal to understand what defensive checks are made, and then he can make an additional check to make sure he gets that one high? And how refined is he at that process now, really?
Well, Aaron's at the line of scrimmage build as far as recognition, anticipation, he's off the charts. Just the way he sees the game and the way he's able to react and communicate and adjust is – He's at the highest level of his career. So that particular play, I think that the defense thought Aaron was checking the protection adjustment, and you know, they looked like there was a signal for a coverage change, and I think only 2 of their players got it. We didn't really change our route or anything. Jordy recognized the break in coverage, and you know, if you see it, Jordy throws his hand up immediately, and Aaron recognized it. And you know, it's just 2 guys being on the same page, making a big time play.
So, Mike, his legs are great. His ability to extend plays, his arm is great. But is his best weapon his brain, you think, as a quarterback?
Always is with the quarterback position.
How does it mean, again, you coach Montana?
You can't play quarterback without, you know, the ability to process and you know, anticipate, you know, recognize, you know, and then you get the mental toughness part of it. Yeah, clearly, I think the strength of any successful quarterback is his mental and emotional gifts, and Aaron's definitely at the highest level.
As far as, I mean, I know you're not giving him all IQ tests, but how does he kind of? Do you have an idea of how he ranks? I mean, coached with Montana. I mean,
is he
pretty high up there?
You know, it's not. I'm not going to do a comparable between Joe Montana and anybody. Right. It's not fair to. I mean, I'm not qualified to do that. Frankly, that's how I feel about it. But you know, Aaron's. The offense Aaron plays in today is different than the offenses back then. I think anybody that knows Aaron. On a personal level, has an understanding. I mean, he's a very intelligent individual.
Yeah, I didn't mean to make you try to compare those two. You coached Favre, you had Hasselman. Mm-hmm. You've coached a lot of guys that are pretty smart guys. That's all.
Yeah, they're all very intelligent.
It looked like DeJuan Harris ran like he wants to run. So, you know what I mean? Last night, I mean, he ran with.
I thought DeJuan Harris, frankly, he got opportunities. I mean, if you look at the kickoff return, we really haven't had a lot of opportunities. You look at the number of touchbacks that we've had, and frankly, it was a big emphasis for us coming out of the bye week. You know, fall, winter weather's here. The return game opportunities go up. So we made a big emphasis of that. The coverage units, obviously, the stress on them goes way up, and I thought our coverage units were outstanding. You know, on the point earlier about playing for 46 players, you know, we'd made some changes on that last kickoff, and they hit it for the touchdown. So, you know, personally, I felt bad about that because we should have probably adjusted there based on who, you know, how we had guys lined up. But covering the football and the return game in the wintertime in Green Bay, Wisconsin, it's definitely a primary focus, and I thought DeJuan took full advantage. I really liked the way he brought it back on the kickoffs, and then in the 4-minute offense, you know, we did a good job blocking up front, covering him up, and letting him run. I mean, he's got unique skill, you know, as far as running the football. I thought he played probably his best game, clearly, of the year. Might have been probably one of his best performances.
Mike, how did Josh and TJ look, and how valuable was it having them both out there?
I mean, Josh and TJ, you know, obviously it's very valuable having those guys. They're excellent players. Just the way everything's choreographed inside and how we operate, communicate, adjust, and things like that. So that was seamless. They both came out of the game, I'm told, in good shape. Obviously not having to play them was definitely a benefit. And and Lane Taylor and JC and Garth got in there. I thought they did a lot of good things too. So, but yes, it's, I mean, TJ and Josh are a big part of our offense.
Mike, is Casey, his hamstring okay? It looked like on the TV copy when I watched it this morning on the kickoff return, it looked like he might have grabbed back there.
I don't have anything, no.
Okay.
You watching the TV copies, huh?
Yeah, you can do it online now. It's pretty sweet.
Oh, that's slick.
That TV copy showed you having a little battle with the microphone cord in the game. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff on the sideline. What the heck happened?
Yeah, see, Jason asked me. I don't remember the cord. I remember Sean Slocum bumping it. I got a knee I'm battling right now, and it hit me right on my knee, and I could probably didn't say the right kind of words, but so.
They were saying nice things about you at the time too. They were talking about it being your birthday. And
yeah, that's probably that's kind of how I go, you know, bad timing.
Mike, the second half challenge that you had there, what was
bad challenge, dumb challenge. Yeah, 3 yards, should have never challenged it.
You know, never mind just the opportunities that they got in the passing game, but maybe your tight ends played more snaps than they have all year.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, was that just the game plan, or is that maybe a sign that those guys have earned?
I mean, we started that way. I mean, right. Obviously that was the priority. We wanted to get to some two tight end personnel groups, and then when you do get a lead, you're able to play in the 4-minute offense. So, yeah, I mean, you'd really like to see all the games go that way as far as distribution of personnel. So, so to answer your question, part of it was game plan coming in and then being in 4-minute offense for as long as we were.
I just wondered if those guys had played well enough the last few games to maybe merit more snaps.
Oh, yeah. No, I like the way our tight ends are playing. I think they're getting better. You know, I know they didn't have a lot of opportunities early in the year. The run blocking on the line of scrimmage has been a major emphasis for us, and we need to continue to work on that. But we're getting them involved more in the passing game. So, yeah, once again, those guys just need opportunities.
Two more, please. Mike, you still do screens and deceptions as a period.
Correct.
What is it fair to say you guys have gone to the screen a little bit more lately than you did early in the season? And what do you like about it? Tom Clements said that you guys might have called it, you did other things off it, so I don't want to assume anything. But it's just, that's something that you guys have done well in the past. Now you're doing it well again.
Yeah, we've actually called a lot of screens this year, you probably can't see it on the TV copy. See, on the coach's copy, you can see probably everything that's going on. Okay, well, check it out. Okay, so there's our screen game, and from our self-scout statistics, has been very productive.
So even though it's not – so Aaron's going somewhere else with the ball, right, a lot of those times?
That's a scheme question, Jason.
Okay. Well,
Mike,
I'm just getting back to Josh and TJ for a second. What does that do in the locker room when players see veteran guys like that fight through injuries and get out there and play?
Well, I mean, that's all part of your culture. That's all part of your leadership and showing the younger guys how it's done. I mean, it's important to take care of your body, and these guys are not going to feel very good physically for months. That's part of the challenge of getting through an NFL season. So to watch those two guys come off a big injury. Morgan's injury was a big injury. You see them guys come off of that and then line up and not only play, but play well. I mean, and that's the key. I mean, you have to, it's great that they came back and played, but they come back and performed at a high level.
Mike, I know that. Concerned about being too confident about playing here at home, considering how well you guys have played at home this season?
Oh, I don't think so. If that's going to be one of the themes of the media, we'll make sure to tell them not to listen to you again. But, it's, home field advantage should be different. The atmosphere last night was incredible. I thought it was a great night for football. And, obviously we like playing at home. I hope we keep it going. So, but every week's a new week. I mean, we really, as a staff, we moved on to the Eagles earlier than we probably normally would on a normal Monday. So, we're focused on the next one, and it was a fun game. It was a great win, but it's just one win, and you got to keep that in perspective.
Mike, I know that Julius had a solid first 8 games, but when you look at what he did last night and having that he caused in the rushing game,
Did he just hit another level last night? I think Julius Peppers is just getting more and more comfortable, you know, each and every week. You know, not only what he's asked to do, but doing it with the people, the individuals next to him. So I think it's just all the natural progression of, you know, playing together. And with that being said, you know, when our goal is to play more players on defense, to have more combinations, sometimes it takes a little longer to get the stunts and, you know, the timing of things to where you want to. So I think he's, you know, very, very comfortable in what he's being asked to do, and he's playing at a high level.
You know, on Julius, he had a good pregame speech yesterday. How does that work? Do you go to it, say, did you go to Julius, like, hey, do you want to say something to the team, or you just kind of throw him out there?
No, you know, it's an opportunity for leadership is what it is. I've been doing it for a number of years. We have three captains. You see them. They go out for the coin toss each and every game. And then one of the three captains I select after our group team prayer to give the final two-minute message. And we forgot to tell Julius it was 2 minutes. So that's why we were a little late for the game.
So they're put on the
last
spot.
One.
Well, no, I mean the three captains know that one of them three, okay, are you know, is going to be asked to talk on Sunday. So, and he was unbelievable. Clearly the best one we've ever had.
Okay.